stand with us. We'll read these two verses, 8 and 9, chapter 13, the book of Genesis. Verse 8 and verse 9. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we are brethren, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. Our Father, we bow your divine presence, O Lord, this morning as we come to you as humble as we know how. We thank you, dear Lord, for all your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to be able to come back into your house one more time. Father, I pray again for that fresh oil. Lord, that you'd anoint us afresh and let us preach in power and in demonstration of the Holy Ghost this morning. Lord, that your word might go out and prick the hearts of every man, woman, boy, and girl in this building. Father, I pray, Lord, that Jesus be exalted above every name. Lord, we pray this morning, Father, that you'd give us the words that we need to say. Lord, reach some soul, touch some life. I pray, Father, that you'd help us to leave here better than we were when we come. We ask you now to go with us, and Lord, what you do for us, we'll be careful to thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we humbly pray, amen and amen. I want to talk to us this morning, if God will help me, for just a few minutes on choice. I want to talk to us on choice this morning. I'm glad that when God made man, he made us a free moral agent to have the ability to choose. I'm grateful for that ability this morning to make my own choices. When babies are born into this world, until children grow up and be adults of their own, they have the choices that are made for them. And have you ever noticed that when children get to a certain age, how they began to rebel when they have choices made for them? Amen. And that's exactly like we are. As we become adults, we like to know that we can make our own choices. I'm grateful for my choices. Sometimes I make good choices, and sometimes I make bad choices. And so do you. And we all so are suffering under our choices, because our choices have consequences that we have to bear when we make bad choices. But we make good choices every once in a while, and we benefit from those. And I'm grateful. You know, when the Lord placed Adam and Eve in the garden, the Bible tells us that in that garden, he placed two trees. One of them was the tree of life, and the other was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God prohibited Adam and Eve to take of that tree of knowledge, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he told them that the day that you eat of that tree, thou shalt surely die. And so in that garden, where good was, there was the potential of bad choices. You remember what happened? The Bible said that when Adam transgressed against God, that God had ran Adam and Eve out of that place, out of the garden, and he said, lest they take of the tree of life and live forever. That's why he took them out of the Garden of Eden, because they had made their final choice when they chose to transgress against God. And so we know in the Bible, all through the Bible, we find choices that have been made, some of them good, some of them bad, some of them with bad consequences, but some of them with good things. Amen, that happened to these folks. Joshua said when they were going to cross over the Jordan in to the land of Canaan. Canaan, the Bible said that Joshua gave the children of Israel a choice. He said, now choose this day, choose ye this day whom you will serve. He said, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so he made that right choice. And they said, yes, we will. We'll choose the Lord. You know, when you make that choice, it's the best choice you'll ever make. I had that choice presented to me when I was a 16-year-old boy in an old-fashioned revival meeting
and I chose Jesus. Amen. That's been the best choice, the greatest choice that I've ever made. The best choice that I've ever made. That's been 44 years ago, and I'm still happy about that choice. Amen. And I'm grateful that God gave me the ability to choose Jesus, His own Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And it's up to you to make the choice this morning to choose Jesus. The Bible tells us that Moses, when he was in the land of Egypt, he saw his brethren. There was a connection with Moses. He was now living in the castle, in the palace with Pharaoh. But every day he'd look at his brethren, and there was a connection there, amen, that he knew that he wasn't really an Egyptian, but that he was a child of God. And the Bible said that Moses saw them suffering with affliction. And the Bible said in the book of Hebrews that Moses rather chose the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And so Moses made a good choice, and God delivered Israel out of Egypt under the hand of Moses. I'm going to tell you, he was known as the great deliverer. I'm glad this morning for the right choices. Amen. But we read in the Bible here about a man that made a bad choice. And I want to talk about choices this morning, a real hurdling, if God will help me. I want to talk about, first of all, the influence factor in your choice. And then I want to talk about the active factor in your choice. First of all, let's look at the influencing factor of our choices. First of all, you'll find that Abraham had put this before Lot. And he said, Lot, he said, if you choose the left, I'll go to the right. And if you choose the right, I'll go to the left. And the Bible said, now Abraham and Lot were having strife together, and their herdmen were having strife together. Lot was Abraham's nephew. Abraham's brother had died, and now Lot is living in the household of Abraham. And they knew what Abraham was, that Abraham was a God-fearing man. And Abraham, where he traveled, always built altars and prayed unto his God. And so Lot was influenced greatly with Abraham's religion. We know that. But Lot had gotten his eyes off of the God of Abraham. The Bible tells us that he began to grow, and they began to multiply, and their herds began to get greater, and the herdsmen and Abraham's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen began to have strife one towards another. And I can imagine that because the cattle were so great that the minimum of the pasture land, one would feed them here one day, one would feed them there one day, and the next thing you know, they were getting intertwined with one another, and the strife began. My friend, listen, this world is a world of strife. Everywhere you turn, it's a place of sorrow, a lot of heartaches, a lot of burdens. But I know one, amen, that can bring peace in the midst of the storm. I choose Jesus this morning, amen. And so the Bible said that Lot chose all the well-watered plains of Jordan, and he saw that all that was wonderful, and he chose that. The Bible said in one place that Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm going to tell you that wicked place. Sodom was a city that was very wicked, and it was engulfed in homosexuality, and there was murders and darkness and wickedness in that place. And Lot knew, Lot thought in his mind that he would never get to the place where he'd wind up in Sodom. But I'm going to tell you this morning, he made the wrong choice. Let me talk about what influenced that choice, because what influenced him will influence you. First of all, are you finding Lot's life of the lust of the flesh? Amen. Now, a lust is a very strong influence in a man's life. The Bible tells us that a man, when he's drawn away by his lust, when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin is finished, it brings forth death. And that's how influential it is in our life. But the Bible said here now that he was influenced by the fact of the lust of the flesh. And he saw, the Bible said, that he had lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord. The Bible said, I destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And so we know this morning that he wasn't operating on his spiritual mind. He was operating off the lust of the flesh. I'm going to tell you, this old flesh doesn't love the things of God. The Bible tells us that it's an enmity to God. And it doesn't love to pray. It doesn't love to come to church. This flesh doesn't love to read the Bible. It doesn't love the things of God. It don't even want to hang around the people of God. It'd rather have its own way. And it would rather be worldly, amen, than to love the things of God. That's why the Apostle Paul called this spiritual a walk of warfare. Amen. We're constantly having to beat down. Paul said, mortify the deeds of the body. Amen. And we're constantly having to beat down of this old flesh. And you know what the flesh would do? It would get up this morning and go to the ball games. And it would get up in this morning and go to the lakes and the rivers. And it would get up this morning and go to the flea markets. And it'll find every kind of excuse to keep from coming to the house of God. And but the reason you're here this morning is because of the inner man. And had gotten the outer man under subjection. If you would have had your way about it, you'd have been somewhere else. You'd have been off on some vacation somewhere and lollygagging out in the world somewhere. But the Spirit of God got a hold in you, amen, and drew you to the house of God. That's why you're here this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The lust of the flesh is a influential factor in everybody's life. But then there's the lust of the eyes. The Bible said that he beheld with his eyes all the well-watered plains. You know, this morning, the devil puts up all these pretty things all around us. Amen. We know that everything that glitters is not always gold. There's a such thing as called fool's gold. It looks like gold, but it's worthless. That's what the devil has out there for us. He paints that pretty picture of all kinds of sin in the world. And then all of a sudden, he never turns the picture around and show you the end result of it. Amen. The Bible said that Lot vexed his righteous soul by hearing and seeing. It was in his eyes that got him. Sometimes the lust of the eyes will lure us out of the church house and put us into the world. Amen. Abraham, the Bible said he chose Canaan land. Now, back when Abraham chose Canaan land, it didn't look like very much, but it was God's land. You remember what happened when the children of Israel came out of Egypt? God said, I'm going to carry you to Canaan land. Amen. That's what the land Abraham chose. And when you read that text a little further, it said, and Abraham went to Canaan land. And I'm glad I'm living in Canaan now. Amen. Hallelujah. Chose Jesus, and I'm living in Canaan land.
Amen.
Whole Lot, he'd rather have. He looked. Now, I'll have to admit one thing. I'll have to admit that when Lot looked at the well-watered plains and he saw that it was a waist deep in grass and knew that if he could get his herds down there, he could probably multiply twice as much in his calves and his heifers and bulls would be fatter than they've ever been before. Boy, it's easy to get your eyes off of what's right, isn't it?
Yes.
Amen. And what's good for you. And he got to thinking how wonderful it would be for his cows to dwell in that sweet pasture land and never have to worry about them drying up and not having any drinking water. What a blessing that would be. But did you know sometimes what we think's a blessing for us winds up being a curse? We'll look at the picture of it, and it looked beautiful. But did you know just as soon as Lot started down there with his cattle, they began to eat all the grass, and they began to drink all the water, and it dried up little by little. They kept a nudging over to Sodom little by little, and the picture wasn't near as pretty as it was when his eyes beheld the whole plains of Jordan. It began to get dim now, and he knew it wouldn't be many days until he'd wind up in Sodom. Amen. But Abraham was living in Canaan land. Every once in a while. Let me stop right here just a minute. Let me educate you for just a second. Abraham saw the mountains. And there is a certain type of grass that grows in the higher elevations that is high in protein. It's the highest grass and protein that they are in all the world. And it grows up in the high elevations where there's not many trees that grow. But that grass grows. And I tell you, when them cattle got to eating on that high protein grass, they didn't have to have near as much grass. But oh, how it made them fat. Hallelujah. The lip may not seem like we got very much. But oh, ain't we fat. Woo! Hallelujah! Ah, the lust of the eyes influence Lot, but then also the pride of life. The pride of life. I tell you, we all love to know that we can do it on our own, don't we? That's the depravity of man. That Adam said we don't need God no more. In the garden, that was the choice that Adam made. When he took of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He didn't need God no longer to tell him what was right and what was wrong. He could just choose it himself. And he could just make a go of it. And pride of life is what got him. And that's what sold the whole human race down the river. Amen. How was that pride of life? And so now, every man, woman, boy, and girl that's born into this world, they feel like we don't need God. We can get us a good education. We can get us a good job. We can make good money. We could build us a house. We could buy some automobiles. We could put money in the bank. We could we can go and buy lots of land and put money in land. Ain't that what the rich fool said? Yeah. That's what the rich fool said. He said, "You have done wonderful without God. You have fared sumptuously without God. You look at the barns that I've built without God. Look at the many crops that I've filled the barns with without God. I've did it all myself." Soul, take thine ease. Sit back. Said you've gotten laid up for yourself for many years and you don't need God. But oh, wait a minute. God came that night knocking on that man's door and said, "Time for you to go.
Yeah.
Time for you to go." And I'm satisfied that fool, God said, "Tonight thy soul gonna be required of you."
Amen.
"Then who shall all these things be?"
Amen.
The pride of life is that factor that got a hold of a lot. And that's what gets a hold of us today. The Bible said in the book of 1 John, he said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." He said, "If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him."
Amen.
He said, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever."
Amen.
Abideth forever. the influential factors, the active factors. His devotions were in the wrong place. The Bible said, where our treasures are, there will our heart be also. He said, lay up treasures in heaven. He said, don't lay them up on the earth, because they're going to rust and the moth going to eat them and they'll be destroyed. He said, what you put your devotion to will be what influences your choices. Amen. I tell you today, I'm afraid we have a lot in our country today. A lot of folks are constantly devoted to everything else but God. And if it becomes convenient, then they'll go to church. When it becomes convenient, they'll serve God. Many of you young adults here, you're raising children, and you've got your life full of trying to raise children, of trying to work and make a living, and trying to provide for them with clothing and food and a roof over their head, and trying everything you can to entertain them with ball games and cheerleading and dancing and all of that, doing everything we can and trying to get our devotion towards our families. But I'm telling you this morning that if you have your devotions in the wrong place, my friend, it will cause you to move and your actions to be motivated to make the wrong choice for your children. Let me ask you a question. I was riding down the road the other day, and the Holy Ghost began to talk to my heart. And he got to talking to me about things that last and memories that last. And he got me to thinking about when I was playing Little League Baseball. My daddy came to the baseball game one time. My mother didn't come no times. Mom and daddy come one time, and then daddy came another time. I'm sorry. And that was it. As far as I know, that's the only time I rode my bicycle to the ball field. I paid for my own glove to get to the play baseball. That was it. Nobody bought me no cleats, no nothing. And we had to sell some candy bars one time to get some baseball equipment. Now, that's the way it used to be. It ain't that way no more. I understand that. And I remember. They came to the ball field very little. And as I grew up, really, really, that didn't affect me none. It didn't tear my mentality up. You ain't got to go to every ball game. You ain't got to go get everything, do everything. That is short-lived.
Yes.
That's short-lived. And by the way, when your children get to be adults, they're not going to sit around and think about, was mom and daddy at the ball field whenever I played ball? But let me tell you what they will remember. They will remember when you say, we cannot go there because revival's this week.
Right. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
We cannot do that because revival's that week.
Yeah.
And they will remember when they get to be adults. They'll forget about whether you was at the ball game or not, but they will never forget the stand that you made for God in their home, that you were a godly man and woman, and that when they raise their children, they're going to put their priorities right and their devotions are going to be towards God. You go to my boys, you think they could care less if I ever went to their ball game now or not? They could care less. They don't never talk to me about, we're glad you and mama came to the football games. They never say that. They never say it. But you know what they do? They call me on the phone. They'll say, thank you for taking us to church. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And you know where Lot's devotion was not in the things of God. It was in the things of the world. But his desires were wrong. He didn't desire the things that Abraham had and what he desired. And he didn't desire the things of... Boy, it got quiet here. Yeah. Got quiet here. When I got on ball games and all these old things, I'm just helping you. I'm not fussing at you. I'm just trying to help you. Because when them children get grown, listen, if one generation neglects God, the next generation will forget God.
Amen.
And when this is no longer a priority to the mother and the father, when the children get grown, do you think they're going to go to church? They're not going to go to church. They don't care nothing about church because their mother and daddy made it just fine going once a month. So we don't have to go none. Am I preaching right? Yeah. Boy, it got quiet here. I'll get some more amens here. I'm trying to help you young adults, amen, to take a stand for Jesus and put your devotions in its right place. I let my boys play ball, but when it came to church or ball, they had to go to church. I didn't care if it was first string or second string. The ball field could do without them for a few days while we're trying to have revival. Why, they wasn't the greatest ball. Why, the ball game kept going when they didn't show up. Amen. I'm not mad. My eyebrows just bushy. Yeah. Their desires was wrong. But the decision was wrong. Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Yes. Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from another. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, Amen. And Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Yes. Choice now. Let's stand together. Ooh, I was too tired to preach this hard. Choice. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We need God. We need to put our eyes on God, get the flesh under subjection to serve the Lord and follow after the things of God. Listen, I'll be the first to tell you I struggle in this old flesh. And so do you. We all do. I do. I'm just like you are. I'm no different. People call me up all the time, want me to go and do, go play here, play there, all the time. But I wouldn't find no time to study the Bible if I went everywhere everybody wanted me to go. Yeah. I wouldn't have no time to pray. I wouldn't have no time to sit and talk to God and let Him talk to me. I wouldn't have any time. My time would be taken up with everything else in the world.
Yes.
So are you. Sometimes you just have to say no.
Yeah.
It's my prayer time.
Yes,
I guarantee you'd call Brother J.P. Rowan up on the phone when he's in his prayer room. And Sister Rowan says, I'm not allowed to get him out of his prayer room. You won't talk to Brother J.P. Rowan when he's praying. No way. You think Miss Rowan's going to walk over and say, J.P., telephone. No, here's what she'll say. He's praying now. We got to be quiet. Can you call back later?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, that's the way we all ought to be, aren't we?
Yes.
I'm afraid today that our choices is bending to the wrong thing. This morning while we sing a song, I guess what I'm propositioning you to do is that if you find yourself leaning more towards the lust of the flesh to make your decisions, or that you're leaning more towards the lust of your eyes, this ain't the most attractive place in Albertville or Boaz or Gunner. You drive by here, you look on the inside of the building. When was it built? 1966? 1962. Now I'm satisfied this paneling, I guess, was there then.
Yep.
1962. And these pews were then.
Yeah.
1962. I'm going to say, no, it probably ain't. Somebody walk in here and they'll say it's out of date. In this place. What they'll say, take the pews out, let's put in chairs. That's what they'd say. I wouldn't have this right here, but you know what they don't see? What's in my heart.
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah! They don't see what's in my heart.
Yeah.
Amen. They're all about the building. But But it's all about Jesus this morning.
Amen.
Let's sing. Come on.